No, he didn't slam you. He didn't bump you. He didn't nudge you. He rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
This is Pit Pass USA, the fastest auto racing location on the internet, with the latest news, the best interviews, and our own brand of commentary. Here's your host, Larry Henry.
Welcome, everyone, to Pit Pass USA. I'm Larry Henry. With the racing season at an end for 2009, I continue this week with a look back at the year and relive some of the top interviews that have been a part of the program. On this Best of Pit Pass USA, you'll hear conversations with NASCAR Sprint Cup Series driver Marcus Ambrose, American Le Mans Series driver and 2009 24-Hour of Le Mans winner David Brabham, 2009 NASCAR Camping World West Series champion Jason Bowles, and to kick it off, an icon of auto racing, the captain, Roger Penske. I had a chance to sit down with Roger in his garage at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in Pole Day for this year's Indianapolis 500. Roger, if my math is right, I think this is your 40th year running at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I think 1969 was your first year bringing a car here?
That's right. So this is 40 years since I first had a car in the race, but I came here in 1951 when Lee Wallard won with my dad. So you add that up, that's 58 years. So I've spent a lot of time around the track. The only time I haven't been here was when we had the split and I left, in 95, and we didn't come back until 2001.
When you look at this place and the success you've had, 14 wins, 14 poles to this point in time, has this been kind of a defining place for Roger Penske and Penske Racing? You know, you've had great success and championships and all, but the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and the Indianapolis 500 kind of defines Penske Racing?
There's no question that to say that you've had the success at a track like this that has so much history, and the fact that we've had 14 victories is a tremendous feat. You know, I say that it's because of the great people we've had. We've had commitment here. We've had continuing sponsors that supported us as we had the success. But to me, there's no question. It's the greatest spectacle in racing around the world. People know that. And to be able to compete out front so many times with so many great drivers is something that I think it's really the personality and the stamp on our company, because it's reliability, it's being competitive, and it's learning how to win.
But you started the success so early with Mark Donohue. I mean, it wasn't like it took you 10 years to get to that point. Within, I think it was like 3 or 4 years, you got your first win.
Well, I think, you know, we were obviously risk takers. We went with a car, a rear-engine car with a wing on it. Remember, we put the turbocharger on the side of the car when we ran the first year in 69, but at the end of the day, this is about taking risks with types of equipment. We built our own cars. We bought cars from other people. But at the end of the day, it goes down to some great drivers, and we certainly, as we look at 2009, Will Power, who did a terrific job subbing for Elio's, going to show people he's a tremendous driver, not only in the road course, but on the oval. And then you take Briscoe, he's really getting to the top of his game. You can see his confidence is so much more than he had when he was here before. And, of course, Elio, he's got something to prove out here this month. The fact that he had to go through 6 months of hell, and now he has a chance to get in his courtroom and show people what he's really all about.
When I look at what you've done on the racing side and Indianapolis and the success and the drivers that you have had through the years, is there one common thread amongst them, from Mark Donohue all the way to now with Will Power and Ryan Briscoe and Elio Castroneves?
I think it's a teamwork. One thing that we tried, you know, to have is part of our DNA on this team is that it's open book. And I used to tell people back in the early days, I said, if you don't think you know what's on the other guy's car, because we were in different garages, you go out with me at night, we'll take the other car apart and you can look at it. So there's never been a question that we didn't have open books. And I think that helps, because these drivers realize there's only going to be one guy win the race. But I've said from the beginning, and I've said it today, if the team wins, you win if you're on this team.
I always point out to people, and they maybe don't notice it or knew it, that you were actually the person that turned the garage area professional. I remember when you put down tile in the old wooden green garages here at Indianapolis, and suddenly your crew guys were wearing uniforms all the time instead of T-shirts and blue jeans, and suddenly they were carrying briefcases out at night. Those were unheard of things.
Well, I think they called us the college guys with the crew haircuts and the polished wheels, but I remember we had a yellow tile floor, and every night we had to polish that thing because it had oil on it. But, you know, we set the standard, I think, of quality, and certainly I think if the cars looked good. This was important to our sponsors. These sponsors began to play a role in this sport. It wasn't just a gentleman's sport where someone bought a car and ran it. It was a situation where you had a commercial venture, and I think it's paid off. And today, you know, everybody looks good. And this crew of cars that are in Indianapolis this year, from top to bottom, there's some great young guys coming on board. Certainly Danica has done a terrific job, and the sponsors and the cars and the reliability. And quite honestly, in this time of, you know, financial meltdown, IndyCar racing is really, you know, very viable based on the cost today versus what you might have to do if you're racing in NASCAR someplace else.
I mentioned Mark Donohue earlier. There's two drivers to me that stand out that kind of define what you've done over the years. Mark is the one that led it off, and Rick Mears, who's now been with you, well, let's see, 30-some-odd years. It's hard to believe he's been here forever. But to me, those two really define it, with Mark Donohue really kicking things off, and maybe people forget that sometimes.
Well, I think these were both quiet individuals. You know, their noise was through their right foot. As Mayor said, let me put the numbers on the board. I don't need a PR person. And he showed you how to do that. And Mark was the one that brought the technology to the track. You know, the specifics of the setup, the ground effects, the wings, etc. He was the one that made that happen.
Yeah, he was a great driver. Unfortunately, the incident that happened with him, but him, and then you've had the Unsers, and I always go back to Al's fourth win, a show car that you pull it in. You do things like that. Then, of course, 95, the last time before the split, you don't make the Indianapolis 500, but the next time you come back here, you win the darn thing. I mean, it just shows everything that what you stand for in Penske Racing.
Well, I think that, you know, that was a disappointing day in 95 when we didn't make the race, and yet we led every lap, but I think one or two in 94, but you know, that's the great thing about this place. No matter who you are, you get no free ticket here. You got to earn it. And to win, you've got to have, you know, execution and certainly reliability, a great driver, and probably a little luck, too.
I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about your other programs, NASCAR. It looks like you've got your Sprint Cup teams going. Kurt Busch is having a phenomenal year. I think Sam Hornish Jr. Now is showing what he can do. David Stremme is having some pretty good runs. Is that partly because you've got the engine developed now? You had the Dodge engine you were doing some things with and caught up with the technology on the COT?
Well, I think this was a commitment last year, and Tim Cindric obviously drives the whole organization. And we, Tom German, who was the crew chief, you know, for a number of years for Sam, you know, was for Jill DeFerrin and obviously Briscoe last year. We decided to put him in charge of engineering, you know, at Penske Racing South, and he took care of a lot of things we needed to get the continuity and consistency in the car. We have an aerodynamicist that worked at Penske Cars in the UK who went to Renault for a number of years, came back, came down. So we've put some expertise in, and I think the car is a lot better. The engine development, we just made the commitment last year. We lost some engines, but it's just a package. You know, Kurt Busch is a fabulous driver. So is Sam Hornish. I said to someone the other day, I said, think about Hornish. Think about someone that was a great hockey player, and you said, okay, now you're gonna race downhill on skis, and you don't even know the track. And that's what we said, put Sam in from an open-wheel car, you know, into a NASCAR car. But he's starting to get it. I watched him at Texas. I watched him in Chicago, in Phoenix. And then, of course, his sixth-place finish this past weekend. You know, was amazing in Richmond. And I think you're going to see more of him. And I tell you, we've invested a lot, but we're expecting a lot, too. And Stremme has just been a great team player. So, you know, overall, we've had a great run in our ALMS car, you know, with a Porsche engine in it. We haven't won a race yet, but we've been there, sat on a pole this last week and leading and then cut a tire. But I would say the 2009 season has been quite positive. Now what we need to do is get something done here at Indy.
You know, when you look at the racing side, and that's what you're known for, there's another side of Roger Penske, and that's the business side with Penske Corporation and all of the various things. People see the Penske leasing. You're involved, of course, with the smart cars in the United States. You've got Penske Logistics. You've got the Penske Automotive Group, which is one of the largest in the world. And all of that what I look at is kind of built on the success of racing, and you had a lot of business-to-business contacts, but it's kind of the same principles you use throughout the organization.
Well, I think racing has been a common thread through all of our businesses. It gives us, it's our advertising campaign. I think, you know, people relate to the race team. They relate to the Penske brand, and certainly the integrity, the willingness to work hard is what we see through our whole organization. And quite honestly, when we win on Sunday, we sell a lot on Monday, meaning within our organization. And, you know, morale is the most important thing you can have.
Well, you obviously have that, and I know you were talking today at the press conference about your Honda dealership in Indianapolis, where they got an award, and they were all geeked up. And I see a lot of people at various times at the various races in all three series that you run in from your group or sponsors and all, and it all ties together.
Well, I think that, as I said, racing is a common thread. We use it as entertainment medium at the races. We bring our truck leasing customers, you know, obviously our PAG, many times the winners of sales contests. It's a great venue. It's a great platform. It's a great stage for our people because it shows teamwork, which is so important today in business, and it shows execution. And obviously the notoriety we get if we're successful, you just can't buy it.
Now, do you think, considering all these years they've called you the captain, they should at least elevate you to major by now? Aren't you due a promotion?
No, I think I'm doing fine right where I am.
Well, I think you deserve a little bit of, especially with the strategy you come up with. That's the one thing. I've watched you over the years, and sometimes even when I'm not at a race and I see what's going on the track, I'm trying to figure out what's Roger thinking about, what's his planning strategy. You really do plan it out, and it's like Indianapolis. Rick Mears was talking about that, his fourth one. He said it went exactly the way we planned it. We knew what we wanted to do every time, and it all clicked. You're really thinking ahead and knowing where you want to go every race. When you're out there on the wall, it's just not, okay, this is what we're going to do. You're really one of the minds behind what's happening out there.
It's a little bit like being a football coach. You got to see, you know, where you are on the field. You know what plays you have, you know what's going to happen vis-a-vis fuel, you know, aerodynamics, you know, where you are from a driver perspective. But, you know, overall, it's just something that's, you know, it's something that is kind of inside me that is the competitive spirit. And again, we'll take a risk. And in a way, maybe someone else won't. And, you know, we've done that at Indy where we've pulled our car out of line at qualifying day and waited till the very end and won. But that's the fun of it. That keeps me, you know, back at the track. You know, it's my golf game and fishing trip, I guess, on the weekends.
Absolutely so. Well, we wish you the best of luck. You got three chances with three great cars, three great drivers to get number 15 so you can change your license plate.
I'm counting on that.
Of course, Roger would go on to gain his 15th Indianapolis 500 victory as an owner just a couple of weeks later after my interview with Elio Castroneves behind the wheel. No one can bet against Roger getting number 16 at Indianapolis in 2010. And his team should also be strong contenders in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series and the Grand-Am Rolex Series for championships. Next up, an interview with rising NASCAR Sprint Cup Series star Marcus Ambrose when the Best of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry continues here on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
Tune up your motorsports knowledge. Power Up Motorsports Channel.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjo Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjo Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile is a radio forum for some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Dr. Pat brings together and introduces visionary scientists and futurists, environmentalists, educators, business leaders, inventors, filmmakers, authors, artists, mystics, and healers who inspire and support individual and collective growth and positive cultural shifts. This award-winning radio show empowers the listening community to be the change they want to see in the world. Tune in every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific for the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile, radio to thrive by.
Think of the world
50 years ago.
Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Power Up, your motorsports channel. See it, read it, feel it.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
Welcome back to the best of Pit Pass USA. I'm Larry Henry. Back in 2005 at the Daytona 500, I met Australian Marcus Ambrose for the first time. Then, he had just come stateside and was scheduled to drive the Wood Brothers No. 21 truck at the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. He, however, cannot race at Daytona because he had no oval or especially super speedway experience. Now, Marcus is one of the rising stars in NASCAR, and I talked with him earlier this year.
Thanks, Larry. It's just great to really get to the cup level, start to really show what I can do. We've been running top 10 speed every single race this year, maybe with the exception of Daytona, where I was very conservative, trying to stay out of trouble and not be the big crash. But just really proud of my guys, proud of JTG Daily Racing for giving me the chance. And, with the help of Michael Waltrip Racing, we're really doing something special.
As I mentioned in your intro, I remember talking to you back in 2005 at Daytona, and of course you couldn't race because you didn't have any super speedway experience. You had to watch, but that's basically what you did the first couple of years. You watched, you drove, you learned, you kept your mouth shut, and learned, and it's gotten you to where now you're up there competing not only for top 10 finishes, but the way it's looking and the way the team's been running, you might be competing for wins by the end of this season.
I'm not sure about that. We're quite happy with our progression so far this year. We've really climbed quite a few spots on the grid in average. We're running around the top 10 now, which has been a huge benefit to us. We're confident and knowing that, we're doing things right. And we've just got to keep doing that. We don't want to get carried away. One of my strengths has been my humility in this sport. I know how tough it is, and I haven't expected to be given anything to me, that you've got to earn it all the way through. So we're doing well. We don't want to get carried away with it. But at the same time, we feel like we can be a contender most weeks now on that top 10 board, and that's a really big step for us.
Marcus, not that they didn't treat you with respect before, but do you feel a difference in the way drivers look at you now in the Sprint Cup Series, maybe with a little more respect? Sometimes that pays off. You get that when you start doing well consistently. Do you see any difference or feel any difference?
Yeah, I sure do. I wouldn't call it respect. I mean, if you're going to get to the top level of cup anyway, you've done something well. I think all drivers appreciate and respect that. But what I have noticed is when you start running well and you start running up with those guys and you pass them a few times, that they look after you like you try to look after them. And they know that you mean business, that when you make a commitment to pass them, that you're going to do it. And so it creates a different level of driving from me and from my competitors, so I can start to predict and expect what they're going to do. They're going to cut me a bit of break if I make a mistake or whatever. And I think that has changed significantly. But that only comes with actually getting the job done on the racetrack. So you got to earn your stripes every step of the way. Like I said, I haven't expected anything to be given to me. I've had to earn it all the way through. And I still feel like I'm on the outside looking in just a little bit. But as this season rolls on and I get more confident and more comfortable in my surroundings, hopefully that feeling will go away and the drivers out there will treat me like I'm one of them.
Marcus, you always talked about that you had to prove that you belong, that you could do it. Do you believe you have done that now at this point? I, looking from the outside in, would say yes. What do you think?
I've still got some way to go from my own perspective. I think you've got to run well on ovals. I'm really keen to break my mantra that I'm a road racing specialist and am a NASCAR specialist rather than just road racing. And I feel like, you know, I'm getting towards that point. With the more good runs we have, it's going to be easier to make that sell. But, you know, I want to win races, and that's what I came across to do. It's been a tough journey. There's no doubt that I'm playing with the big boys now, and that you've got to have everything right. It's not just about driving at the cup level. You've got to have a team. You've got to have the team with you. You've got to have the team believe in you. You've got to have the best of everything to even contend at the top level, let alone win a race. So I feel like we're getting all those pieces in play, and that, you know, my crew believe in me. I'm starting to believe in myself, and when you get that, good things start to happen. So I'm still got goals of my own that I haven't yet achieved, and I still feel like I'm looking on the outside in a little bit. But, you know, hopefully it'll settle in. I do appreciate your word to say that it looks like I've made it, but, you know, when you're doing it for real, it's a bit hard to really, you know, see the wood for the trees or however that goes.
Talking with Marcus Ambrose here in Pit Pass USA, the driver of the number 47 Clorox Kingsford Little Debbie Toyota in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series for JTG Racing. Currently 28th in points. Unfortunately, he dropped 7 after Texas had some mechanical problems there. But you were talking, Marcus, about the ovals and learning there and not wanting to be just a road racer. When you finished 10th at Bristol and you finished 14th at Martinsville, I don't think you can be called just a road racer anymore, because that's a place that gives veterans headaches. And you had two solid finishes on two of the toughest tracks in NASCAR.
That's true, and they were breakout races for me, and my confidence level really shot up after Bristol and Martinsville, finishing both races on the lead lap, I think, you know, was a real boon for us. You know, we looked at the schedule to start the season, and we knew those two races were going to be very tricky just to finish them. So I'm proud of what we did in those two racetracks. But I think Texas, for me, even though we didn't finish the race, I think that really stood up the hairs on the back of my neck to feel like we're actually really there. Because not only, you know, we didn't get lucky at Bristol, we didn't get lucky at Martinsville, we backed it up at Texas. And we backed it up too at Atlanta, we backed it up at California where I qualified fifth. I mean, we've had great races every single event so far this year. We just haven't been able to finish them off. And, you know, up until the motor started going south for me at on the weekend there, at Texas, you know, we were running 6th, 7th place, and that's pretty awesome to think that we're actually doing it.
This association that JTG has with Michael Waltrip Racing obviously paying dividends. We look at David Ruderman, he's been running strong, and whenever Max Pappas has run a car out of the Michael Waltrip Racing shop, he's had to qualify on time and been able to do that. It seems to be a really strong operation and really helping you and JTG Racing get established this year.
No doubt. And as a startup team, JTG Doherty Racing, with a startup driver in myself, couldn't have dreamed to have such a great start to our season and to have such a high level of performance straight away. And we have to thank, and be very conscious to thank, Ty Norris and Michael Waltrip and Cal Wells and everyone else associated over there at Michael Waltrip Racing that have given us the best chance to deliver at the cup level. And we're really excited about it. We've got great equipment. We've got great people, great resources. I've got two wonderful teammates to look at with David Ruderman and Michael Waltrip that I can reference off and learn from. And hopefully I can contribute to their success too. And, you know, it's just a great place to be right now. Michael Waltrip Racing is a buzz with a fresh, renewed energy level that I haven't seen in years. It feels like a race team like I haven't experienced before. It's just great to be part of it. And JTG Doherty, you know, they're along for the ride, just experiencing it for the first time and learning what it takes at the cup level to be a real contender.
Of course, we see Brad Doherty on TV with ESPN, but how much hands-on as an owner is he with you? Do you see him at the shop a lot? Of course, Brad also jumps in a race car from time to time and goes racing.
Brad's a major part of our success. I mean, he's got a winning attitude and a competitive nature that you can't buy that kind of ability. And so he helps us in the sales room, he helps us in the boardroom, he helps us for our vision of moving forward. He's just a wonderful asset to our team, and he does play a major part. You know, he's up in Asheville, so he doesn't have a day-to-day role as far as the performance angle of the team is concerned. But on the overall side, he's a key player, and we're really lucky to have him involved.
Yeah, there's no question. And since he does race, he also understands what goes on inside the team, and that's got to be a big help.
Yeah, it does. I mean, he understands what it takes to race cars. He's a race nut himself. He loves to race his late model. He's doing very well at that, mind you. And he's been a team owner before. He's working in the ESPN booth. So, you know, he's across all forms of the racing game. And I think that has a huge benefit to it as well, because he's very grounded and very realistic on what we're doing, and appreciative, I think, of my efforts and, you know, all the crew at JTG Doherty.
Talking with Marcus Ambrose here in Pit Pass USA. And Marcus, a little break right now in the Cup side of things, nationwide running this weekend and all. But you get back on the horse here shortly, and this is the time of the season where it's mostly those mile and a halves. What do you guys really have to do to succeed on those? Although at Texas, again, you had a great qualifying run there, and unfortunately the mechanical problems. But what do you have to do to bring it home on the mile and a half, which make up most of the schedule?
We just have to really focus right now on this week off about getting our act together as far as reliability is concerned. We've had problems all year, little niggling issues that have really hurt our on-track finishes. And so we're doing a lot right as far as performance goes and car speed goes, but we've just got to complete our team and just finish off the small detail stuff to make sure that, you know, we don't have these little niggling problems affect our race performance. So I think we're going to pause this week and just look at what we've already done and look at what we need to do better. And I think reliability will be the number one word used around the shop over the next 10 days.
Marcus, you ever had a better time in your life, not only with the success you've had on the racetrack, but also with your lovely family at the same time?
No, I'm in a great place right now. I've got my career on track in NASCAR. We're doing wonderful things on the Cup Series circuit. I've got my young family that's growing up every day. We're having a lot of fun with them, and we're just in a great place, really enjoying the time and enjoying the experience, and it's just been a real thrill 2009 so far. We're all healthy and having a lot of fun.
Well, Marcus, we do wish you the best of luck. You are always a fun guy to chat with. As I said, I go back to 2005, the first time I met you, and we both have a common friend in Crusher who has decided to head back down to Aussie land, which is a good place for him, I think, to hang out most of the time. But a great guy. But it's great having you here, and you're getting more and more fans that are watching you and coming on board as Marcus Ambrose people, and it's great to see the success you're having, because a lot of us know the hard work you've been putting in.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it's easy to think a racing driver just turns up on Sunday and goes racing, but it's taken me 4 years of 7 days a week, 24 hours a day commitment to get here, and I just really am thankful that it's starting to work out.
Ambrose this past season in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series finished 18th in points with 4 top fives and 7 top tens. On the nationwide side, he won at Watkins Glen and finished 2nd in Montreal. Definitely looks like a driver that could make the chase in 2010. Next up, an interview with 2009 24-hour Le Mans overall winning driver David Brabham as the Best of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry continues here on the Power Up Motorsports Channel. Want to join our pit crew? Are you a motorsports expert? Jump into the driver's seat and get your voice heard. To learn more about our broadcasting opportunities, contact us at 480-294-6417. That's 480-294-6417. Or email us at info@voiceamericanetwork.com. That's info@voiceamericanetwork.com. See it, breathe it, feel it.
Join G. Cobb in the house every week on the Voice America Sports Channel. This show takes you inside the world of sports from one who knows. Gary Cobb is an 11-year NFL veteran who has almost 20 years in sports radio and television. From the locker room to the clubhouse, we'll talk on the inside with the newsmakers on the sports scene. It's always exciting and full of energy. G. Cobb in the house with Gary Cobb and co-host Micah Warren is broadcast live every Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, is here for you, the fan, to hear about and discuss the week's top stories in the world of sports. We'll discuss not only the headliners, but you'll hear some of the smaller stories that don't usually make it on the sports wires today. It's a forum for the sports fan, hosted by Joe Cribbs, a three-time Pro Bowler with the Buffalo Bills. Joe is a 10-year pro football veteran, a former Southeastern Conference Most Valuable Player, and a member of the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Discuss the topics with Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Network.
Are you ready to learn all about NASCAR from an insider's perspective? Join Eddie DeHaan every week for the NASCAR Insider. It's an interactive look at the world of NASCAR from the drivers to the crew chiefs. You'll hear from top-flight NASCAR guests that the other shows only wish they could have. Hear about last week's recap, this week's news, and more. Call in to interact with Eddie and his guests every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on the Power Up Motorsports channel.
From IndyCar Racing to PowerBooks to Formula One and NASCAR, you're listening to PowerUpChannel.com, your motorsports channel.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
Welcome back to the best of Pit Pass USA. I'm Larry Henry. One of the great racing families in the world are the Brabhams. It began with world champion Sir Jack Brabham, and they continued with sons Jeff and David. This past spring, David added to the lore of his family name by being a co-driver on the overall winning Peugeot team at the 24-hour Le Mans. I talked with David from England following that victory. I'm very pleased to welcome to the program right now a gentleman who, well, he is part of the winning team at the 24 Hours of Le Mans this past weekend. Not a class winner, although he was, but part of the overall winning team. And those are few and far between. And even more exciting, 16 years ago, his brother was an overall winner at the 24 Hours of Le Mans for the same team, Peugeot. And that's David Brabham who joins me now. David, congratulations on what has to be a real high mark in your career, being part of the overall winning team at the 24-hour Le Mans.
Yeah, hi, Larry. Yeah, I mean, what a weekend. You know, you work your whole life to win one of these big races, and, you know, to finally stand on the top as an overall victory. It's just unbelievable feeling that I have right now. In fact, I think I'm finding it still hard to believe that it's actually happened.
Well, it is such a challenge to do that. And Peugeot, this was their third year. They had a plan to work and to work and to work and to beat the Audis and everyone else in their classification. And it paid off this last weekend with what you did. And not only did they win, they wind up second. It was a great weekend for them, but an extraordinary weekend for you and the other guys that were in the car with you co-driving.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I first got involved in the program, which is January time, since then, the amount of testing that I've done, I mean, I did 3 30-hour tests, and I didn't do all of them. So, you know, the preparation that Peugeot put into this program to win Le Mans this year was unbelievable. And, you know, I knew when I did the deal with them, I thought, you know what, third year, Audi have got a new car. You know what? I really think I've got a great shot here. And, you know, driving with Marc Genet and Alexander Wurz, the three of us were just, you know, we worked so well together. We stuck to our game plan. We looked after the car. We weren't worried about whether we were fast or not. And, you know, we got through an absolute perfect race. We had absolutely nothing go wrong. And we were in the right position at the end. So a great, great job by everyone, to be honest.
Were there any moments during the 24 hours where there were indications possibly it was going to go away? You mentioned it seemed to be flawless.
Yeah, I mean, the way things were going, I mean, we were obviously looking in good shape. But as it got closer to the end of the race, it was looking more and more likely, really, that we were perhaps going to lose the race because the number 8 car was obviously running very fast, and it looked like they could do 13 laps, and we could only do 12, which meant we were going to do an extra stop before the end of the race. If that had happened, I think we would have finished second. But with about, I think it was an hour to go, there was a safety car, and they got caught behind the safety car, which is like on the other side of the circuit, because, you know, it's such a long circuit. They have 2 safety cars. And that put a big enough gap in between us. It also meant that both of us had to stop. We all had 1 stop more. And so when that safety car came out, I then thought, now we've got it in the bag. But it wasn't until an hour before the race did I feel like we could win it.
David, where does this fit in? And of all the accomplishments that you have had in your career in racing, and it really seems like the last year or so, you have been really on a roll.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a great run for sure, and obviously I'd like that to continue. But you know, from 2005 to now, I've had a third, a fourth, a first, and a first. Which is an incredible run at Le Mans. And what was really interesting, you know, the last 2 years driving for Aston Martin, racing against Corvette, having an unbelievable battle with those guys, winning the race, going up the top on the podium, I always thought, God, what's it like to be up on the top podium of an overall victory? I wonder if I'll ever see it. You know, I wonder what that experience would be like. And when I won it this year, got up onto the podium, the feelings, the emotions and everything, that if you compare it to what happened the last 2 years, it was exactly the same. There wasn't any real extra, oh, I've won this big race, because, you know, when you're in your class, you're doing the best you can. You're having great competition, particularly with the Corvettes, like we were this year with the Audis. And it was a really strange experience because it didn't really matter whether I'd won the class or won overall. It was exactly the same feeling, which I found quite interesting.
Yeah, that is. But you're so used to running in classes when you're running in the American Le Mans series that I'm sure you don't even think about the ultimate being the overall winner when all is said and done, especially at the 24-hour Le Mans. You're just so relieved that you've been able to win, you've been able to be first. And then you go, oh, by the way, we're the best of the best.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. I think it's not till you, like, I came home, and obviously I've, last 2 years at Le Mans, I've won with Aston Martin, and, you know, I've had a lot of support from so many people. It's been incredibly touching. But I've never had the response I've had after winning Le Mans this year. You know, I came home to over 300 emails, over 100 texts. I've never seen anything like it. And I think, for a lot of people, that, you know, the overall victory is the one that people go, man, you've won the big one, you know, and everyone wants to congratulate you and everything. You know, someone asked me, you know, what's it like to win Le Mans? I said, well, you know what, winning Le Mans is a great experience, but what actually means more to me is the response that people have given me. That actually means more to me than actually winning the race.
Well, I would also think it's special, too, as I mentioned early on, your brother Jeff won 16 years ago with Peugeot, and you're also celebrating your dad's the 50th anniversary of Sir Jack Brabham's first F1 World Championship. I mean, all of this kind of seems to come together here in 2009.
Well, you know what? I mean, the stars and the moons have definitely lined up. I mean, you know, to win Le Mans this year with celebrating dad's 50th anniversary, you know, it is incredible. And obviously I had the opportunity to drive my father's Coupe, which he won the world championship when he was racing at Sebring, when I was there earlier this year doing the 12 hours. And, you know, it's just for our family, it's a big year. And to top that off, you know, to go to Le Mans and win overall, you know, just, and you just sit there and you go, how can this get any better? I mean, you know, it's just unbelievable.
Well, maybe it gets better. You win the American Le Mans Series crown this year, and right now your Patron Highcroft Racing Acura in LMP1 is number one in the points, and you're having a great run with Scott Sharp as your co-driver.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, you know, for me to be able to do Le Mans, I mean, I have to say a big thank you to Duncan Dayton, Highcroft Racing, HPD, and Acura, because, you know, they had to give the blessing for me to go and do it. And they did, and, you know, I'm glad I can go back and talk about how great race I had. But of course, you know, that's now history because, you know, already to this, like today, I'm trying to get my head around, Lime Rock, you know, because, you know, we have a race coming up. We have a championship to win. It's, you know, I take my Peugeot overalls off. I now put my, Patron Highcroft Racing Acura overalls on, and, you know, we have, like I said, we have a championship to win, and Scott and I are definitely up for the job.
Well, I mentioned this a little bit about, you know, this seems to be a time for David Brabham. You're having such great success overall. And when we look at racing these days, all we hear about are the kids. And we look at NASCAR, they're 18-year-olds. And we're even hearing an open wheel, you know, the 18, 19-year-old, 20-year-old kids. And here you are. You're not over the hill by far, but, you know, you're in your 40s now. And a lot of people now think, well, when you're 40, you're way past you. But I look at you and I look at a Scott Pruitt, who I know very well. And you guys seem to be hitting your prime at this point in time.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. I mean, the very fact that you've got these 19, 20-year-olds snapping at your heels, I mean, you've got to dig deep and you've got to perform. And I think over the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, I took a good look at myself and I said, you know what, you know, you need to improve. You need to get better. And of course, you know, when you say something like that, you sort of get led down this path. And it only comes by that sort of internal conversation to say, hey, you know what, let's lift our game. Let's take it to another level. And I think that's a very big part of the reason why I've been able to do what I've done, because I have improved. I have got better. And the results, I think, show that.
Well, and you've also been with good teams. I mean, that's the other part of the equation.
Yeah. I mean, you can't do it without a great team. And, you know, for sure, you know, I know I've been driving well. And, you know, when you look at all the races last year, I mean, you couldn't have written the script better, because, you know, the team, the whole Patrone Highcroft Racing team performed, all of us performed at such a high level. And you had to, because, you know, we're racing against Penske and Porsche and Audi. You know, I mean, they are the best out there. And for a young team like Highcroft Racing, it was unbelievable for us to be able to challenge them and beat them. So it's been an amazing journey. We need to keep it continuing.
David Brabham. He also added the 2009 American Le Mans Series LMP1 Championship to his resume, co-driving his Patrone Highcroft Racing Acura to that title with Scott Sharp. Brabham just inked a new deal to return to the team in 2010, but we'll have a new co-driver. We'll be announced shortly. Next up, an interview with 2009 NASCAR Camping World West champion Jason Bowles as the Best of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry continues here on the Power Up Motorsports Channel. Everything motorsports. See it. Breathe it. Feel it. PowerUpChannel.com.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on, it will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It Old School, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Every company will rise or fall based on marketing strategy. In today's business world, companies are realizing a significantly reduced marketing budget. Some may find themselves starving for new business. With the internet continuing to grow by leaps and bounds, companies may find that the opportunity proves to be overwhelming. Tune into the Business Net Marketing Hour with Greg Gaskill and Jason Kepi for a straight-up guide to navigating the world of online marketing. Tune in Thursdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked and we've heard you. Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and new innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
You are on the inside track of motorsports drivers and teams. PowerUpChannel.com.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
Welcome back to the Best of Pit Pass USA. I'm Larry Henry. There is great racing all across America each year outside of the top series in NASCAR, IndyCar, the America Le Mans Series, and Grand-Am Rolex Series. A big part of that is the NASCAR Camping World West Series. I caught up with series regular and Sunrise Ford driver Jason Bowles just a couple of races before the series season came to an end.
As I always like to do, I look around the country at other racing series, and we always talk about the hot battle that's going on right now in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series just to make the chase. Well, how about in the NASCAR Camping World West Series? They've got two races to go, and they've got a pretty good points battle going on right now. And my next guest is the man that's leading the points with two races to go, and that's Jason Bowles. Jason, welcome, and congrats on leading the points, but you want to be leading them after two more races.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Definitely, that's our goal, is to continue with our lead and hopefully extend it a little bit here in the next two races and bring the championship trophy back to the race shop.
Now, this is the third year you've run in the NASCAR Camping World West Series?
Yeah, this is my third year. I started in 07 running for Sunrise Ford Racing, and I've been thankful that they've kept me all these years, and hopefully it's going to pay off for them.
Now, last year you finished second. How close were you in the points to getting the championship a season ago?
I think we ended the season 46 points out of the lead. You know, we were only 9 points behind going into the second to last race of the season, and we got a flat tire, and we had to come from 90-something points back, and we were able to cut the deficit in about half at the last race, but just weren't able to get it all done.
Do you get nervous with these final two races? One is actually in the Midwest. We always say the NASCAR Camping World West Series, but you're going to run at Iowa Speedway. That's about as Midwest as you can get. And then one race after that, does that worry? Because you've only got, I think, a 37-point lead right now.
Yeah, if I told you I wasn't worried, I'd be lying. You know, obviously you always worry a little bit. You worry at the first race of the year. I'm sure my worries are a little bit more, but I'm going to try and, you know, just go to the race with the same sort of mindset that I always go with, and, you know, just work on the things that we're good at, and, you know, just stay out of trouble all day and keep our nose clean, and, you know, the cards are going to fall where they're going to fall, and as long as we don't beat ourselves, you know, I think we'll be okay.
Talking with Jason Bowles here on Pit Pass USA, who leads the NASCAR Camping World West Series right now, driving his number 6 Sunrise Ford. And you live out in the Ontario, California area, and of course that's right where California Speedway is. It wasn't always there, of course, Roger Penske built a racetrack, but being there in Southern California, in that area, and that seems to be a hotbed because Ontario's right next door to Riverside, which always had that great racetrack in California Speedway back in the day. I mean, the old Ontario Speedway.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, I enjoy where I live. I've grown up here. I've lived in the same house for 26 years. You know, I try and go to the Speedway as much as I can and watch as many races as I can and meet as many people as I can. And, you know, I've really enjoyed being in California, and, you know, hopefully I'll put a deal together where I have to move out of here, you know, but for better reasons, and go do some racing on the East Coast.
Now, you've won a lot of races at Irwindale, which is just up the road from your great race facility, and we always know when they combine the series and have the big shootout there that gets all the publicity. Has that helped you winning at Irwindale? And I know earlier this year you won down at Phoenix in April. I was actually at that race out at PR. Are you getting some notice? I know you want to make the move up to maybe Nationwide or Trucks. Or, I mean, you'd love to be in Cup, but you know you've got to take that next step.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've noticed a little bit more you know, interest in what I'm doing and my plans for the coming years, and, you know, my goals and that sort of thing. Definitely winning helps. You know, people notice who wins for sure, and I think winning this championship will help as well. You know, but we'll just have to wait and see. You know, being out here on the West Coast, you're a bit disconnected, but, you know, we'll see. Some people are taking notice, and I travel as many races as I can to try and talk to the people that I know, and, you know, go back east every now and then and visit some of the shops and that sort of thing.
Yeah, how tough is that? Because it's like a lot of sports on the West Coast. We don't hear about it much here in the Midwest or the East. The time zones are a problem. There's not that much coverage. And I think I see a lot more, I'll say, NASCAR Camping World East, and maybe that's because it's around on the East Coast and there are race shops up and down the coast and everybody's connected and you don't hear much from the West. Is that a problem for you to get known among owners and other drivers on the East?
It definitely makes it harder. You know, it just makes it where I have to work a lot harder on the promotion side of things to make sure, you know, the right people are noticing what I'm doing. You know, they recognize that, you know, what we're doing out here is not easy by any means, and, you know, the races that we're winning are tough and that sort of thing. But, you know, with it not being in their backyard and running at tracks with them each and every week, you know, it's definitely harder to get noticed. But I've just had to, you know, just improve on my end of making sure that they know what's going on.
Jason, I also look back the last several years. There's been a lot of drivers that made it up to Sprint Cup racing that came from the old Busch West Series. So that's got to bode well for you.
Yeah, no, it definitely makes you realize that it's a possibility, and anything's possible nowadays. The way the economy is, has set things back a little bit, but we're just going to keep working hard, and hopefully with all these wins that we've been putting together and the championship, people will notice that I do have some value and that I can bring something to their team.
Jason, what do you do away from the racetrack? You can't race all the time.
Well, I just I spend most of the time at the race shop. I work here 5-6 days a week, and then I'm also a sales rep for Oakley. And luckily, they're pretty lenient, and they understand what I'm trying to do with my career, and they give me a lot of freedom. And as long as I'm selling product for them, they seem to be happy.
How long do you keep at this level before you feel you've got to make the move or it's not going to happen? Is there a time frame for you?
I'm kind of at that point where I feel like I've got to move on to something else. I think anybody, once you win a championship in a series, or you come close, you got to kind of look and think like, okay, I've accomplished quite a bit there. I've won a substantial amount of races, and now it's time for me to move on to that next step, and not get comfortable where I'm at and keep progressing with my career.
How tough is it to make that next step, even to the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series?
The hardest thing I've done in my life up to this point.
I'm sure it is. I mean, and sponsorship being the way it is these days, we know the economy, and you got to get someone, and a lot of people now say, bring me the money, I'll give you the ride. It's not, I'm going to hire you because you're good.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem. It's become a money sport. It's always been driven by money, but with the way the economy used to be, there was a lot of money that teams had to help out the drivers they wanted, and now it's more drivers bringing money. But, not every case is that way. Hopefully I can be one of those cases that makes it with no money. Unfortunately, my family doesn't have a bunch of money or anything like that. We've done a good job with what we've got to get to where I'm at now, and the guys here at Sunrise Ford, they've taken really, really good care of me over the last 3 years and, seen my ability before I was able to show it to them and give me this opportunity. So, hopefully someone else will see that same thing.
Well, Jason, we wish you the best of luck on your championship run and the remaining two races, and hope to see you at the next level in the very near future.
Thank you very much.
Jason Bowles. Jason would go on to clinch the NASCAR Camping World West Series crown with a fourth-place finish in the season ender at All-American Speedway in California. Congratulations. Bowles had 10 top-five finishes in the season and made his NASCAR Nationwide Series debut at Phoenix last month. Unfortunately, he came home 31st in that race thanks to an accident. Bowles continues to hope to put together a ride in either the NASCAR Camping World Truck or Nationwide Series in 2010. I hope you enjoyed this look back at some of the highlights this season on Pit Pass USA, as you heard from Roger Penske, Marcus Ambrose, David Brabham, and Justin Bowles. To help make Pit Pass USA even better as we head to 2010, please email me with your comments and suggestions to LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. This show is for you, and your input is invaluable in shaping its content. You can also find us on Facebook with our Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry fan page. If you're on Twitter, we're there too. @PitPassUSA gets you directly in touch with us. If you'd like to find out what's on my mind between shows or see what has me climbing onto my soapbox, check out my blog at www.exhaustfumes.wordpress.com. And don't forget, you can always hear Pit Pass USA from the archives on our host page at www.powerupchannel.com or subscribe through iTunes. Please tell your friends about the show and help us to continue to grow our audience. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week here on Pit Pass USA, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
do it for this week. Time to get ready for another great week of racing to talk about next time on Pit Pass. Tune in next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for another fast-paced 200-mile-per-hour edition of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on Power Up, your motorsports channel.
What does it take to succeed in America today? In this changed world, success requires a new way of thinking, a new way of doing things, and a new strategy of being and becoming. Benny Harris can take you from the brink of possibility to the path of infinite probability. He'll help you learn to rely on and believe in your unlimited power and potential. As a life success consultant, Benny can help you make the quantum leap from ordinary to extraordinary. What it takes to succeed in America today with your host, Benny Harris. Listen Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on Voice America.
Tune in on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart, the program that takes you on a journey through grief after the death of a child. Join Dr. Gloria Horsley, marriage and family therapist and bereaved parent, while she interviews and discusses with other bereaved parents and siblings how they have coped with the death of a child and gone on to create and realize new dreams. So tune in Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart with Dr. Gloria Horsley, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Being Here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss Being Here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.